Well, one night during a thunderstorm, there was a mom tucking her little girl into bed. And as any parent who's ever tried to put a kid to bed during a storm, or really at the best of times, you know, here's that question. Mommy, can you please stay with me? To which mom replies, no, sweetie, you're going to be okay. It's just a storm. You can be brave. And the little girl's like, no, I really want you to stay. And the mom says, honey, you need to go to sleep, and I need to go sleep with Dad. There's a long pause before the little girl mutters, that big sissy. There's fear lurks around in our lives, doesn't it? And there's times where what may seem fearful, what may cause fear for one person, seems fairly insignificant for another. But fear lurks in the background of life. It's one of our, like, our fight or flight response, right? Something happens and the adrenaline kicks in. And, you know, we can be like that little child, you know, hiding with the covers, fearful. But we're all afraid of something. And sometimes it's something big, sometimes it's something little. You know, I freely admit one of the things that causes me a great deal of anxiety and fear is needles. Like, I am not a good patient. Hats off to any nurse who has ever tried to put or take out something from my arm. I'm just going to stop before I get queasy. But there's times where, you know, I've had to be brave. Like, when I got my life insurance, I had to do a physical, and they send the nurse to the house, right? And she's doing everything. And Eli's not great with needles either. But they needed to take blood. And I also have, like, for those of you that are nurses or, you know, like, I have the veins that are really hard to get, like, they roll, and yeah. I've gotten some pretty good bruises from nurses digging around trying to get that vein. But when I needed this blood test done, and the nurse is there, and Dana thought it would be kind of funny to reverse the roles, and got Eli to hold my hand so that I could be brave getting my blood taken. And, you know, that was the time where I had to show real courage, because, you know, when you've got a little child who's already afraid of needles, having Dad blackout is not going to be a good thing. But it's fear. And it's something that I, you know, it's deeply ingrained in me for some reason, this fear of needles. But there's other things that we're fearful of. I mean, some people are fearful of spiders or snakes or of snow or of rain. We're all afraid of something. Sometimes there's moves in life that are scary. I mean, have any of you ever moved across the country or moved to a new city? You know, this is something that I've done several times in life, moving a great distance to a new place, new people, new surroundings. There's things that can be scary, just, or even just unsettling, because you don't know, because there's unknowns. And I remember when I moved to Ontario, one of the first things that really threw me for a loop was that there was not a single grocery store in the town that I lived in that had the same name as anything I knew. Right? And it might seem like a little thing, but if you move somewhere and you're like, okay, there's no Save-On, there's no Superstore, there's no Safeway, it's like, which grocery store do I actually go to? It's unknown. We're going to be looking over the next number of weeks at the book of Joshua. And Joshua is the key phrase that we get, and we'll be looking at it this morning, is to be strong and courageous. The book of Joshua is about Joshua leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. Now, just to give you a reminder as to where we're at in the grand story, the grand narrative of the Bible, the nation of Israel began with the call of Abraham back in Genesis. And God promised Abraham that he would have a land, that he would become a great nation, and that he would be a blessing to all nations. And this, as we follow through Genesis, the story of the family of Abraham, we see that it takes time for that promise to start to see fulfillment. And we go through Abraham's children and grandchildren. We get to Jacob and his 12 sons, and the one son, Joseph, right, ends up down in Egypt. And he's sold by his brothers. But then God uses those circumstances to rescue his entire family from famine. And so we get to the end of Genesis, and this promised family is down in Egypt. And we get into Exodus, and we find out that they're there for generations, and that they become enslaved, but they do become that great nation. And then the book of Exodus tells us how God raises up Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And through the hand of God, they get out of Egypt, and they get out into the wilderness, and they get to the edge of the promised land. And this is the place that God has promised them, where they have been waiting for generations to get to. And they get to the edge of the promised land, and what do? They get afraid. The 12 spies go out, and 10 of the spies come back and are like, okay, seriously, we cannot take this land. This is too big and too scary for us. And they stir up the people against Moses, and because of their lack of faith, because of their disobedience to what God had told them, God says that none of them will see the promised land, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the two spies, who stood up and said, God has told us this is ours, and we're going to take it. See, they let fear and doubt cloud their judgment, and the nation of Israel was left to wander in the desert for 40 years. And so Joshua begins 40 years later. The previous generation has died. And they are standing now once again at the edge of the promised land, being led by Joshua, ready to go in. And so here we are. You can kind of call this, Joshua's kind of like conquest take two, because the first take just didn't happen. They turned around, and they spent those 40 years. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua. It's the sixth book of the Bible, and I'm just going to read through Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We read, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the excuse me, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock must stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to go help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So, Joshua chapter 1. Here they are sitting at the edge of the promised land. And you've got to imagine, this is what they have been waiting for. This is what they have been waiting for the last 40 years. They are about to go in. But God is reminding Joshua to be strong and courageous. Now, this may seem odd that he would need to be admonished, to be encouraged, to be commanded to be strong and courageous, because he's going into what he has waited for his entire life. But it was full of the unknown. See, being strong and courageous is needed even when we're looking forward to what lies ahead, because there's always going to be hardship. So just a few things that I want to highlight in this passage this morning. Reasons why Joshua had to be told to be strong and courageous, and why we need to remember to be strong and courageous. The first is that the children of Israel were moving out of something that was very familiar. It's hard to move out of what's familiar. But as much as the children of Israel were looking forward to the promised land, think about what the last 40 years had been like. Every morning, manna was provided. And quail was provided. See, for 40 years, the nation of Israel, their situation was not ideal. By any stretch of the imagination, they were wandering as a nomadic people in the wilderness to wherever God had directed them. But for these people sitting on the edge of the Jordan, getting ready to go in, they'd spent 40 years never having to worry about where the next meal came from. God provided for them. They didn't have to go out and plant fields and harvest crops. They simply had to be where God told them to be. It's pretty easy for us to get comfortable, isn't it? I mean, just imagine, if you don't have to worry about your next meal, if food just showed up on your doorstep every morning, that's a pretty comfortable thing. There's a lot of other situations in life that we can deal with if we're well fed, right? Crossing into the Jordan, across the Jordan, as we'll see as we go ahead over the next few weeks, that they crossed the Jordan and the manna and the quail stopped. See, the children of Israel were going to be going from what was familiar, no matter how hard it was. They were going to be moving out of what was familiar into what was new. They were going in and they were going to have to conquer the land that God had laid before them. They were going to have to start planting and harvesting. They were going to have to start getting settled. They were going to have to become familiar with a new place. And though, you know, going from a place, a nomadic place of existence, to a place of permanence sounds good, it's still fraught with unknowns. I remember when Dane and I have been, for most of our lives, have rented whatever house we've lived in, or apartment, or basement suite. It wasn't until we moved here and got out of Metro Vancouver that we could actually buy a home. And it was a really, really exciting thing. It was really exciting to buy our first house. But I still remember when I signed those papers, I had a little bit of an anxiety attack inside, because all of a sudden I'm going, okay, well, the bank owns the house, but it's different now. I'm taking on new responsibilities. In some ways, as troublesome as it is to rent, it's really nice to know that if the furnace dies, it's not your problem. Or that when pipes freeze, like they did this week, you call someone else. You don't stand in the furnace room with a hairdryer for 2 hours, which we did. Nothing burst. But it can be hard, no matter what it is that we're moving into. Moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar can be tinted with fear. And it can be a time that we need to be strong and courageous. So too, the nation of Israel, as they moved from wandering in the wilderness, from being provided for daily by God, not that they wouldn't be provided for in the promised land, because God said he would provide for them, but it would be different. And sometimes we don't recognize that just moving from the familiar to the unfamiliar can require a lot of courage. The second thing that I want to highlight in this passage is that it takes courage to be moving in new times. See, this passage begins, the very opening words of Joshua chapter 1 are after the death of Moses. See, the nation of Israel wasn't just changing from being a people wandering in the wilderness. But Moses had died and had passed the leadership on to Joshua. And Joshua was a different leader and in a different time, and things were going to be different now. It's very closely tied to the moving out of the familiar. But the times were changing. Not just their leadership, but also the method, the ways that they would live. It's a very different thing going from being a wandering nomadic people to being an army conquering a land and settling it. So too, we live in changing times. The way the world was 10 years ago is different than the way the world is today. Times change. And the way things are done would change as Israel transitioned from being this group of nomadic tribes going where God told them to go, to settling, establishing their territories, was going to be different. Life was going to look different. You've got to remember that those who are standing at the edge of the Jordan, that the oldest of them were just children when they left Egypt. For 40 years, the nation has lived in the wilderness, and this is all they know. Life is going to be different when they move into the land. But though it was going to be different, they had a foundation and an anchor to hold on to. In verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See, they were moving into new times, but they were still serving the same God. And God tells Joshua that as they go and goes into this new chapter of the life of Israel, that it's going to be different. But he was to keep the law of God on his lips. He was to study the word. He was to know intimately what God had shared with Moses, the law that had been given. But this was going to take courage. And as you read through, even to the end of Joshua, but especially as you get into the book of Judges and beyond, we see that the nation often lacked the strength and the courage it took to hold on to the Word of God. And they let the times change them rather than anchoring to the Word of God. It takes strength and courage to move forward in new times. Things will be done differently. Things will look different. But the Word of God stays the same and remains the foundation and the cornerstone. Third, in this passage, we see that it takes strength and courage to move for the sake of others. It's one of the second half of chapter 1 has this abrupt shift as all of a sudden Joshua is talking to these 2.5 tribes. And just to give you an idea as to what is going on here is the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, so half of the tribe of Manasseh. We read, if you go back to Numbers chapter 32. Now, I know some of you, if you ever tried to read through the Bible, Numbers is often where you get stuck. But if you can get over those first few chapters, the book of Numbers tells us much of what happened during those 40 years. And in Numbers 32, we read this. The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So this is outside of the promised land across the Jordan. So they came to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the community and said, Ataroth, Dibeon, Jazer, Nimra, Hashan, Elech, Seba, Nebo, and Baon, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. And it goes on. They make a deal. And Moses tells them, it's like, it's not really fair for you guys to settle while all your brothers have to go and conquer the land. And so the 2.5 tribes commit to Moses at that time that if he will allow them to settle on the east side of the Jordan, that they will stay with their brothers until the conquest is done. And so we get to this part here, and so they're sitting at the edge of the Jordan, but we've got these 2.5 tribes, and see, they're already settled. From what we see in Numbers and the way it's worded in Joshua, and we see it later in Joshua 22 when they go home. These 2.5 tribes they came to the east side of the Jordan, and the people that were there, the nation of Israel, had subdued them. And these 2.5 tribes who raised livestock saw that this is actually really good land for livestock. They're like, this is actually the perfect place for us. And they were allowed to stay outside of the promised land, just across the river. But now it came time for the conquest of the rest of the land. And it would have been very easy for these 2.5 tribes to say, we got our houses. Why do we need to go fight to take, to conquer a land that isn't for us? All our needs are met right here, right now, where we are. Sometimes we have to be strong and courageous. Sometimes we have to move forward, not for our sake, but for the sake of others. Sometimes God calls us to be a part of something that at first we may look and go, that is of no benefit to me. That's not what I need. But it's what our brothers and sisters need. Charles, last week, in his message, he talked about the brothers and sisters that sometimes don't travel with us. That sometimes we need to not be dependent on what others are doing, but to take the initiative, to move forward. And as I was, I already had this message outlined when I was able to, got the opportunity to hear Charles' message. And I was, by God's grace, it ties in so well. Because this is probably the hardest thing for us to muster the courage to do, is to move forward for the sake of others. Because as human beings, we are really, really wired for our own self-interest. But sometimes there are others that need us to walk alongside. Sometimes we're called to do something not for our sake, but for the sake of the greater body. To walk forward faithfully with our brothers and sisters. And we see that this 2.5 tribes, if you go to Joshua 22, we get to the end of their journey in the promised land. Joshua 22, starting at verse 1. This is after they've gone through, and the conquest is as finished as it's going to be at this point. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have done all that Moses, the servant of your Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I have commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your fellow Israelites, but you have carried out the mission of the Lord your God. Now that the Lord your God has given them rest as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your hearts and with all your soul. Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes. See, the fighting men of those 2.5 tribes showed incredible strength and courage because they stuck with their brothers to fulfill the mission until it was done. That takes a great deal of strength and courage to move forward for the sake of others. Now, when we come to this passage, it says, you know, be strong and courageous. our human inclination especially can be tempted to just hear, okay, we got to try harder, right? Pull up by our bootstraps. I've got to be better. Well, we have to remember that the strength that God is commanding is not our own strength. And back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, we read, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." It's not our own strength. And our courage is not baseless. Sometimes we think of courage as the one who'll just run in with no fear at all. But courage is knowing that there's something to be afraid of, but letting go of that fear, of trusting that there is, that it will work out. Now, we can trust that God is going to be with us. Now, that verse should sound very familiar to something else that we come to in the New Testament. Because that promise that God will be with us is echoed in Matthew chapter 28, where we read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" See, our church's mission statement is to be a community of Christ followers who are disciples making disciples. It comes out of Matthew 28. And Matthew 28 gives us that promise from Jesus that he will be with us to the very end of the age. It is the same promise that he gave Joshua, that he would be with him. You see, we can be courageous in what God has called us to do because we serve a God who has promised to be with us. Sometimes it's easier to see than others. Most often it's in hindsight that we really, truly see how God has carried us. But we can be strong and courageous as we go out, as we make disciples, as we build each other up, as we share the gospel, because we have a God who is with us. I came across this story that reminded me of this, and it was this lady who her son was moving across the country, and so moving from California to Michigan. And what was going to happen is that the mom was going to drive her son's car across, and then her husband was going to fly out, and they were going to have a vacation out east. And just before this was going to happen, she fell and broke her arm. And she had a cast all the way up, but she still persevered, and she decided she was still going to do this drive across the country. And so she was driving with one arm in a cast, driving across the country, and one day she got really tired, and so she pulled off at a rest stop to have a little nap and then continued on to a restaurant. And she was coming out of the restaurant, and this trucker had pulled up, and he stopped her, and he's like, "Did you stop at such and such a rest stop?" And she's kind of nervous. "Yes." And he says, "Oh, good. So I've been looking for you." She was really nervous at that point. He said, "No, it's okay." He's like, "You've been driving for a few days, and, you know, truckers talk to each other on the radios. And I said, somebody saw you on your first day. Said, there's this gray-haired lady driving with an arm in a cast in this little car and out-of-state plates." And he said, "We've actually been following you to make sure that you didn't get lost or hurt. And when you went off of the rest stop, we lost track of you. And so all the trucks along this highway have been looking for you to make sure that you were okay." and we were just about to call the state police because nobody had seen you for a few hours. See, this woman didn't know, but she was being watched over. There was an unseen hand of the truckers across the interstate keeping an eye on this woman to make sure she got to her destination. See, we have a God who is watching over us to make sure we get to our destination. Individually and as a church. At times, it's not readily apparent, because not because he's not there, but because we're not sensitive to it. But he is there. And when we look back, at what has happened over the course of our lives, how he's brought us to where we are at, even if we look back at this last week, the things that were shared earlier this morning, God is with us, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. And so, go this week. Ask God to show you where he is at work. Ask God to show you the opportunities that he gives you. And I can guarantee you that there's going to be stuff that's unfamiliar. There's going to be stuff that it just seems like a change of the times. And there's probably going to be stuff that you at first go, you know what, that's of no benefit to me. But it is for someone else. Be strong and courageous, because you serve a God who is with us and who has given us a mission, and who will be with us to the very end of the age, no matter what. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are with us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be strong and courageous. Not our own strength and not our own courage, but yours. Because you are the God of the universe. You go before us. You go before us to do the good works that you have prepared in advance for us. You go before us to carry your truth, your gospel, to the world around us. And you are with us to the very end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.